Well, in the first half, got some cool Crow info and updates for you. Also, we'll do throwback. Do yourself a favor. Lots of good tips. And we'll do that. First, check this out.
Hey, guys. Michael Malice here. Be sure to check out my weekly podcast, You're Welcome with Michael Malice, now on Podcast One. You might know me from my terrible Twitter, my horrible books, or the nonsense I spout on podcasts like Rogan and Glenn Beck. It's all there. Are you black-pilled or white-pilled for the future of the UK? What is a man?
What is a man?
What is a... No, what is the, are you white-pilled or black-pilled? No, seriousness, girl.
No, I love the Jesse Lee piece of question.
The fact that you discovered that gives me hope for some of the things that I've still got that are missing.
Well, if you need James G. Blaine's autograph, you are welcome to it. Of course, being the co-author of How to Have Impossible Conversations makes you the perfect guest for this train wreck of a show. New episodes are available every Thursday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and wherever you get your podcasts. You are welcome.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Vernon Davis and the Sklar Brothers. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects, and now, a man who's never done any quiet quitting because he's never done anything quiet, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice. We're going to mandate you get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian. Tell me all about it, stud. Vernon Davis, NFL great, going to join us, former 49er.
49ers hero.
Stud, tight end. He's acting now and doing a million other things, so we'll talk to him about all of that. Also, we'll talk to Sklar Brothers, who are always funny. Talk some UFC and God knows what else with them. I'll check my notes. Gina, we never really talked to you about what you did over the break.
Oh,
and let's
so
keep
sweet.
It that
okay,
way.
Okay, thank you.
Moving on. Now, we're all curious.
It was actually very low key. Like Brian said yesterday, it was the first week of school, and my stepson's birthday is in the middle of that week. So, a lot of depressing runs to Costco. A lot of sadness. But before that, I did do something great. We always, the weekend before his birthday, we take him to Big Bear. But this year I thought, how could we up the ante? So Gina invited...
We took him to a Big Bear.
a bigger bear.
Can I... Yeah. Let me just posit this.
Uh-huh.
Are we setting ourselves up for trouble? Because at some point, your stepson is going to be roommates with my son when they're in their mid-20s, and they're both going to be hanging around waiting for the other one to outdo themselves from last year's birthday presentation, or who's going to do it bigger and who's going to do it better. And they're both going to be sitting there looking at each other, and they're going to be looking at a huge pile of dishes in the sink, and they're going to go, who's going to outdo me in doing those dishes? Like, you're going to have two people just – who have been born into a world where people just outdo them. Oh, Dad,
themselves.
We got to outdo it for your birthday.
Yes.
Daddy's got to go get the bike charger for you. Now these two people are going to be roommates at some point.
Yeah, standoff.
Not only that, but, Jeannie, you're more in this mode than obviously Adam is, but there is an arms race going on in the parents on the west side. Like, whose birthday? Like, the last birthday must be outdone.
Oh.
Whoever's it was.
Well,
the other kid had a whatever birthday. You got to go plus
totally.
One.
Totally. And let's not forget that this now only 7-year-old child has two sets of birthday parties.
Right.
So. So I said, how do I outdo last year? I know, let's invite all the grandparents from reaches across the country.
So special to the 6-year-old.
My mom, actually, he fucking loved it. My mom, Andy's dad and stepmom, Andy's mom.
Do grandparents don't smell weird anymore,
no,
do they?
No, they're like 65 years old.
Also, there were two very important elements of grandparents when I was a kid, which don't really exist, which I don't think, but, you know, this is maybe unique to my childhood. But my family were not huggers or kissers or any affectionate. Right. There weren't affectionate people.
We understand.
We get it.
And they smelled sort of normally, too, although you never hugged it out, so you couldn't really tell. Yeah. But the grandparents, not so much my grandma, but my Philadelphia grandma and stuff, there was a lot of, oh, come here, you know, bring it in, you know. And when you're not used to it, it's weird.
Yes. Yeah.
And then you add the person's smell.
Yes.
They smelled weird. They had a weird sweater that they made for themselves that retained the smell. And now you're being pulled into their ample bosom with the weird sweater smell. And it just added to the whole thing.
Do you know what my grandmother smelled like? And I have to tell you, for me, it's a pleasant memory. Bananas and cigarettes.
Wow.
So if you want to really get specific.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, there was a combination of everyone smoked and everyone had
bananas on the counter ripening. Yeah.
And evidently moths attacking apparel was a huge problem in this country. They needed mothballs.
Cedar
and they needed cigarettes, and then you got a shot of that.
Yes, absolutely.
And so dental hygiene wasn't what it is today.
Yeah, either. Now, like what I was told, which I still don't believe, that Blanche Devereaux on Golden Girls was supposed to be 45 on the pilot.
Right.
So things like that don't really add up anymore. So you could just roll through whatever. We took him to the Alpine Village. We did – he and I –
oh, the grandparents all came to Big Bear.
Yes.
Oh,
all
you combined.
Of them came. Yes.
Oh, okay. Well.
We did – you weren't the only one who raced this weekend, Adam. We did go-karts.
That's right.
We did the toboggan. He loves mini golf, and we have two professional golfers in the family, so they're not big fans of mini golf, but it was fun. My husband and his dad and that whole side of the family. And just keep rolling. Oh, he is our kid boy, and he's really into dinosaurs right now. So instead of Super Mario, Lady had to run to the Vaughns in Big Bear, because he calls me Lady, and make a volcano cake with dinosaurs on it. That was as good a job as I could expect at the Vaughns in Big Bear.
1930s gangster?
Hey, Lady. That's why people go, why don't you tell us his name? I go, that's what we call him. I call him Kip. He is the kid boy or the boy kid. That's what we call him. So we had an amazing time. I found this fabulous – it just keeps scrolling – fabulous Airbnb. It was called the Million Dollar View, and it really was. We decorated. Everything was Jurassic Park.
Look at that.
I don't think I included it because I think I got embarrassed, but I should have. Everything has dinosaurs in it. I put on a dinosaur mask and dinosaur claws and did a whole dance to Was Not Was, Walk the Dinosaur.
God.
That's what I looked like in my pajamas.
Adam's Paris notebook.
I did a full show. Then we did a neon show with glow sticks and turned off the light. It was really like
Dino rave.
I hope he remembers this for the rest of his life. It was really special for everyone. I brought t-shirts and fabric pens so we could all make t-shirts that say, you know, kid boy birthday. It was really fun. We had a hot tub. He had lots of presents. It was fabulous.
Yeah, so then you got to up the ante, I think it gets to a place. This is a beautiful looking view.
Yeah, it was great. We went to this place we call Cowboy Church because on Saturdays they have Cowboy Church. It's called Wyatt's. It's their convention center, but it's amazing. It's like outdoor dining with live, you know, line dancing and live music and bar food, and then inside is just a cacophony of mustaches and spurs, and it's fabulous.
Is that Andy's mom or his sister?
Oh, she'll love that.
She is brand new.
She will love that. That is his mother.
I should give everyone an update that Salt Lake City, Kyle Dunnigan's going to join us on Friday. And Bill Engvall is coming up on stage for pod on Saturday. And we still need ball pullers. So,
yeah, so if anybody wants to be a ball puller, send an email to questions@adamcarolla.com in the subject line. Ball puller for Salt Lake City, and tell us about yourself.
I do need to add a PSA for everyone, though, because I was pretty depressed. I knew Brian was going to Hawaii, and I had a friend that just got back from Sicily and Barcelona, and, you know, I couldn't go anywhere on the dark week because of the Fakakta kid, which, by the way, I did talk to Andy about next year. I'm not staying here.
Good.
So I'm going to go on a trip with my girlfriends, and he
totally
gets it.
You're welcome to come.
Thank you. So I was like, well, maybe I'll go to Costco. I like Costco. And I tried a new Costco deep in the valley. Have you ever been to a business center Costco?
No.
Okay. You should keep it that way. Because not only was I in the most dreary, depressing part.
A little more industrial.
I was on the phone with my mom. I was like, there's hanging lamb in a not super refrigerated room. There's meat kind of just out everywhere. There's like big pans. There's no clothes. There's no TVs. There's no hot tub.
No frills.
I couldn't figure out what was wrong with this place. It sucked. I was super depressed. Andy never stopped hearing about it because I couldn't stop talking about it. Do not go to a business center Costco if you want the fun and vibrancy of a regular Costco.
Is it all business supplies
and food?
I think
it's for restaurant industrial stuff. Mm-hmm. Do not mix them up. It was a sad day.
Really had like whole lambs hanging?
Yeah. I have pictures. I have them on my phone.
Wow.
And then there's a room that's not that refrigerated with just meat stacked
you
up.
You post a picture.
That was
there's
it.
There's flap steaks or ribs or whatever stacked 10 high.
Yeah. It's like it's confusing.
Well, speaking of animals, people have been tweeting me their updates with crows.
Oh, oh yeah.
And they there's a few good ones. Like one picture of a crow dipping a McNugget into sauce.
Fancy.
A fine taste.
into sauce. Looks like, I don't know, is that Chick-fil-A? Or I don't know what that...
It has a chicken on it, probably.
But it's something familiar. I'm trying to think of...
I do not eat this. I do not know how I know this. I'm pretty sure those are chicken fries from Burger King.
Yeah, that's a Burger King thing. Anyway.
They have chicken fries.
They're dipping it.
Wow.
They're not eating the McNugget and then eating the dipping sauce.
They're
dipping
it right there.
Into
true,
the actual sauce. And then there's another one, which we've talked about before, the crows dropping the nuts onto the highway, letting the cars run them over.
That's my favorite.
And break them and then eat that.
Fun fact for fans of the show. I brought that fun fact to you back in like 2007.
Yeah.
On the radio.
Yeah.
Show.
They've been doing it for a long time.
Since at least 2007.
People are kind of catching on.
They'll sometimes fly it, you know, under the stoplight. They'll fly it under the car tire, fly up, crack, fly back down to get it.
Waits for a bus to run it over, and then the crow flies down and goes and gets the nut because it couldn't bust it open itself. Then somebody also tweeted me, did you find the crow and the cat? There was a cat.
Uh-oh.
Dr. Seuss.
Eating food. Yeah. Eating something in a parking lot. And the crow wanted it, but the cat was eating it.
Uh-oh.
So one crow came up behind the cat and pecked the cat in the ass.
Distracted it?
The cat turned around and ran at the crow. The other crow slid in and grabbed the food that was
crime.
On the ground.
It's like Oliver and Fagin. He's like an old-timey pickpocket. Yeah.
And everyone is also giving me all these stories. I think I liked it, Chris. But
confidence.
We didn't see any of your likes, but we'll see if we can find it.
I think I did, but sometimes I don't know how.
And
it
they
works.
Love prizes, so they'll bring you prizes.
Everyone keeps telling me stories about how they befriended the crow, and then the crow started bringing him trinkets, and even one who'd trained the crow to get cash for them. I don't know how this one worked. And then how the crow would essentially do what I've been talking about the whole time, which is the little girl that befriended the crow. The crow would not only bring the little girl trinkets, but when the girl was walking to school, if some bad bully came up to the kid or a dog started coming after the kid, the crow went right after.
Protector.
Yes.
We have proof of concept.
Well, in a day and age when... You know, what do we really have? You know, we have pepper spray, we have tasers and stuff, but it's also, you got to implement that.
Yeah, you got to get it.
Number one. Number two, we've all seen the video with the cops who tased the guy five times and it didn't seem to anger him, you know, or the pepper spray. Like, there's these devices, you know, you have a gun and it has a non-lethal beanbag round in it or something.
Good luck.
Practically, is that thing going to be on your hip when you're walking at night into the liquor store from the parking lot? Like, these things that people tell you to do. And then a lot of them are kind of like nonsensical. Like, you have to have a gun for protection in your home, but you never keep the gun and the ammunition in the same place.
How good are you going to be at 2 a.m.?
Yeah,
we're going to put the ammo over here. We're going to put the gun over there. And then you hear the window break at 2 a.m. and you tell me in the middle of the night with a boner how good you're going to do getting that gun out, loading
laser
it up.
Sight.
Right. Right. But. The crows.
Yeah.
The crows are pretty doable.
Happy to do it.
And they would just hang out and your kid would walk. Look.
For a little bit of seed.
Your kid, wouldn't you love to know that your kid was walking to school with 100%. This crow just hanging around up top?
That's fabulous. Yes.
Any stray dog, any stray person, any weirdo in a van, any kid named Butch.
Death or above.
Who wanted to pick on him because every tough kid was named Butch.
Of course.
According to every sitcom I ever saw in the 70s. Yes, it's got to be. All right. I guarantee you they're working on it. They must be. There's no
You'd
way.
You'd be a fool not to.
If the military was trying to train dolphins to get sea, like mines and sea and stuff like that, somebody's come up with this.
I know they say that there's no end to what we can accomplish if we don't care who takes the credit, but you need your slice on this one. If they're working on it, you have to at least, it has to at least be named after. You don't have to get paid.
Crow Rolla.
Yes.
Well,
Operation Crow Rolla.
The here's how it works with me. And the chronology of my ideas. It starts off with, you go back 20, 25 years, I roll out an idea and everyone goes, oh, no.
You're an idiot. They chuckle as though you're making a joke.
Right,
you're a comedian.
Right.
Like, that's a good one.
Shampoo's not bad for you. Shampoo's good.
Or that's rich.
Breathing in a sunscreen when you're spraying it all. You know, it starts with you're insane. Then it moves to a kind of neutral zone of like, well, yeah, maybe, but it's probably never going to happen. And then at some point it happens and everyone forgets about what I said 25 years ago.
Yeah.
That'll be my legacy. Vernon Davis is running behind.
Come on.
All right. Well, we can bring him on with the Sklar brothers because knows sports like those guys.
And Shaq, and who is going to probably weigh in when the Sklar brothers do it together?
Oh, that's right.
Shaq and
I forgot.
Yeah, me too. But they'll remind
Charles
us.
Barkley.
Yes, Barkley. Thank you.
That's right. All right. Do we have the Befriend the Crow video? I can't recall Chris's. Juggling things back there.
It's a one-man show back
there. It's not a video, but Lifehacker released an article this month about how to befriend crows and turn them against your enemies.
Fuck yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's helpful.
By the way, all you have to do is float it out. I mean, here's a perfect application for my crow. My house gets TP'd twice a week now.
Yeah.
That this crow would immediately put an end to this. There's no such thing as a bunch of snot-nosed teenage kids pulling up at 2 in the morning, jumping out of their car with rolls of toilet paper without – there's one shot, one kid. Yeah. They're all back in the car.
There's an ear on the ground.
And who are they going to sue? The crow?
Right.
It's perfect.
That's right. And all you'd have to do – and maybe I should start doing this – is put it out to the neighborhood kids. Mm. You know, my son has an attack crow.
Yeah.
So – you'd like to fuck with them anywhere outdoors.
Yeah, find out.
By all means.
By all means.
Yeah.
But you'll be warned. Enjoy. You wouldn't even have to have an attack crow.
No,
you just put it out there.
That should be the new, like, dog, you know, sign, like, beware dog, like, attack crow on premises sign.
Yeah, speaking of the son, he announced a few weeks ago, that he wanted to learn the guitar.
Oh. All right.
And I said, good. And then he came in and announced last night, that he wanted to play the bass.
Oh.
Dude.
Because it's easier.
It is significantly.
And I said,
a strong finger.
All right. And then I said, what song are we starting with? And he
the real me.
That's Brian.
Did you say that?
Well,
I'm trying to think of the most complicated bass line.
What happened? Well, you can find the real me. But he started.
Gina, do you know that song?
No.
The Who. You'll know
I'm
it.
Sure I do.
It's the best. It's one of the greatest rock songs ever.
It's just got an insane bass line that no one would ever learn from the
right.
first time.
So I said, so we had this insane moment where he, so.
Here it is.
I'll turn it up. But well,
crank
let
it up,
me.
Gotta hit a bass. Right.
I never thought about bass line.
Really
taking that thing for a walk.
I went back to my mother.
Chris.
Yeah,
don't try pretty fucking good tune.
Yeah.
All right, pause it for a second because we got to get to the end, but this song's so good. So he comes in and I said, look, what do you want to start with? Because I'll tell you what, I'll buy you a bass and an amp, and then I'll give you 7 days to learn the opening lick of a song.
Okay.
But you got to learn that opening lick.
And it can't be Smoke on the Water.
Right. And he picked Money by Pink Floyd, and I'm like, ugh.
A good bass line.
Yeah.
It's easy. Yeah. I just don't I don't know why I just never really got into Pink Floyd, and I always hated that song because it was really slow, and then it got fucked out. It got used
lots of classic rock radio.
And just lots of movies and stuff. Anytime they would show anyone counting the money in the montage scene where the ladies were the bank robbers or something, they would always play that.
Very heisty.
Told him too fucked out. So I told him The Real Me by The Who.
Wow. That's
what we got to learn.
Here's a 10.
7 days.
And I said, he's like, I don't know that one. And I said,
you will.
Pull it into the living room and turn it on the speaker or whatever. And let's get into it. Now, he likes it because he likes to bring Phil into my office where I shadow box. Because Phil is just a flat liner lump of dog hair. He doesn't – you could ring the doorbell 100 times. You could bust in a window. You could abduct everyone at knife point. He wouldn't even roll over. But if I start shadow boxing, he gets aggressive and he goes bonkers. He rears back on his hind legs.
Like a stallion.
He wants to box you.
He's a big boy. He can bark real loud. He's got big teeth. He's got big paws. And he goes nuts. So – you know, Sonny likes to drag him in and go, get him, Phil, get him. And then Phil starts getting amped up and he starts barking and then he runs in a circle and then he runs down the hall. So
he sleeps for 2 days.
Yeah.
I took my shadow boxing into the living room and we played The Real Me, which is, I was just thinking, and I'm glad Brian brought it up, which
weird.
Is weird because that is the one song. First, I suggested The Pretender's Mystery Achievement, and then that gave way to The Real Me.
Does he have a teacher or something?
I don't know. Okay. We haven't got that far.
Mirror.
And who knows? He, you know, he's just announcing this to the heavens.
Sure.
But then I played him John Entwistle and The Great Who.
Oh.
So now we got to hear the rest of the song just because it kicks. It just kicks so hard.
I was going to ask before I do that, are you assigning him the whole song? Because that second half or final third is insane. That's virtuoso stuff.
I was fucking around with him the whole time.
The girl I used to love, it's in this yellow.
going to love The Who.
Yeah. That's not from Tommy, is it? It's not.
No.
Quadrophenia.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think it's Quadrophenia. it's kind of, there's a bass songs where it's just kind of money. It's like, doom, 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 which means you're the focus of the song. But I'd rather be a little back playing
flavor.
The shit out of the bass,
yeah,
like John Entwistle did in this song. And then you also kind of wonder, there couldn't have been sheet music for that.
No.
John just was a kick-ass bassist, and they just went fucking go nuts.
Yeah.
Like, go for it.
The top of their game. Every one of them.
Yeah. Love that song so much. But it's so funny.
That's so weird.
You picked that song, and I picked that song.
It sounds scary, but it's not a big hit.
Well, it's not that. It's that, and people don't think of it as a bass song se. Yeah. They think of those
Smoke
on the Water
steady,
lines. Yeah.
Yeah, and the bass part recorded on the first take. John said he was just joking around when he played the part, but the band loved it and just used it in the final version.
Badass.
You got to add that to your list of things to do before you die. Something incredible that you announced you were just joking around.
Yeah.
Oh, lark.
Yeah, well, it was so he was free to have fun because he went, all right, then we're going to do the money take and five takes from now and they'll bring me down to earth. And that's why he was able to just kind of go all over the place.
You guys know the movie Dr. Strangelove or How I Stopped Boring, blah, 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 blah. George C. Scott, who plays like the chief of staff, was a very over-the-top performance. And the confirmed rumor is that Stanley Kubrick told him, yeah, just go crazy. We'll just, you know, not use this take every take. And he used everyone that he tricked him, basically.
To go crazy.
To be an over-the-top because he wanted a sort of satiristic, absurdist comedy.
Well, that's where the art is. It's the way over the top,
pissed.
Right? All right. Let me tell you guys about Simply Safe. Does anything matter more than the safety of the loved ones? Of course not. So how come so many security companies don't act that way? I trust and recommend Simply Safe. Great company. Been a sponsor for over a decade here. Two eyes. Simply Safe. 24/7 professional monitoring. Simply Safe's agents dispatch police or first responders the moment a threat is detected, even if you're not home or cannot be reached. Just $1 a day, no long-term contract or hidden fees, and you can customize the perfect system for your home in just a few minutes. Peel and stick, no drilling, no pulling wires. Batteries last up to 10 years. You can have it up and running in just a couple of minutes. SimplySafe.com/Adam. Go there today and get a free indoor security camera plus 20% off with interactive monitoring at simplysafe.com/Adam. All right, we'll take a break here. We'll have some do yourself a favors lined up. We'll do that right after this. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote, or contact a local agent. Say about concrete. Oh, this stuff is good. Your body makes half the creatine it needs. The other half comes from your diet. But the American diet, not good when it comes to creatine-rich foods. Concrete, patented creatine, HCL, is the favorite creatine of elite, well-informed athletes. The number one bioavailable creatine and the only microdosing creatine. Just one small scoop per 100 pounds of your body weight, and you are good to go. The stuff has a nice lemony flavor. You feel an immediate energy boost when you take it, because I do it every day. Creatine is required for functional energy in every cell. Your brain uses about 20% of the creatine in your body. Immune cells, well, it's there to protect you. Heart cells, they need it to pump. Lung cells need it to breathe. It is concrete, right, Dawson?
Take control of your health, both body and mind. Build a better you with Concrete. Register now at con-crete.com/podcast. That's con-crete.com/podcast for a chance to win a $500 Walmart Visa gift card. Available now online and in-store at Walmart. Concrete is truly life-changing and performance-enhancing. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, man, I just flew twice on Southwest yesterday. Both flights were absolutely packed. So as soon as I got on the plane, I started scanning for the biggest, fattest dude already parked up against the window. I took the aisle seat. I swear, on both flights, the seat between us was the only empty seat on the whole plane. I went 2 for 2. Thanks, buddy.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah, don't put the fat guy on the aisle. You'll never get out if there's a fire.
That's a good do yourself a favor.
That's a great one.
Yeah, good way to lead into this. Also, it also leads into Dawson is not here today because his flight was canceled. Mike August's flight was canceled a couple of weeks back when he was trying to get back from Chicago. Is this a big thing? Do we have to worry now? What is going on? Lots of cancellations. Everyone who's flying has a story now.
Well, and that's aren't the two big proponents of that crazy Franken weather, you know, in random areas where we're not used to it and it's going crazy. And the fact that we laid off every pilot under the sun during the pandemic.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting in that if you think about mentalities. I always say the professions, the endeavors that attract certain people. You know, like you go, there's certain, like I'll say it, like I was at the track and I was just saying something like there's a crazy car that's always in my race. Oh, there's a couple of them. But there's one called a Decon Monza. And Chris can probably find pictures of a Decon race trim Monza. But the point is they're just a crazy car. And then someone will inevitably say, that guy who drives that Decon Monza, he's a madman. And I'll go, yes, because it's self-selecting.
Sure.
The people who are attracted to that have that mentality. So that's why
already.
You get that. Their cars, they're like a little, they're tamer. You know, the guys who drive kind of the four-cylinder things with the skinnier tires and stuff, they're not wired like the Decon Monza. The Decon Monza is the guy who wants to fly the fighter jet, and the other guy wants to fly the Cessna. They both love flight. And they both get their pilot's license, but it's a little different mentality.
Right.
And then that mentality would then transfer into a bar if you're sitting around and there's a dispute or something. Like, it's a mentality that translates,
right.
You know? So you take people, let's see, LA Unified School District, you know, union member teacher, and you go, you need to get vaccinated or you can't go to work. And they go, okay, you know, sounds reasonable. They do it. Airline pilots, not that guy. So you tell them you got to get you got vax or you can't come back into the cockpit. And they go, fuck it. I'm 68 and a half. Fuck you. I'm retiring. So there's going to be a certain amount of a group whose mentality and the pilot's mentality is the opposite of everything that would come out of Barbara Ferrer's mouth or Fauci's mouth or Rochelle Walensky's mouth or whoever, Gavin Newsom. They would be the exact opposite with all this stuff. But they're getting it foisted on them more than any other profession. And so it would be reasonable to figure that a percentage of them just went, fuck this. So that's part of it. And then there's weather, and then there's people don't want to go back to work because they're getting paid to stay home.
It becomes easy. But I don't know. Do you think that a good chunk of the pilots that retired were because they didn't want to get vaccinated?
I think things end up being a kind of a cumulative effect. So it's like a lot of people that left California during COVID, It's not because of COVID.
The last straw.
They were like griping about taxes for a while, or maybe they're running a business and they're getting hit with a lot of red tape. And then maybe there was a bunch of homeless and this goes in front of their business. And so this goes back 9 years or whatever. And they've been talking about they didn't like the school and blah, blah, blah. And at some point, COVID kicks in. They lock down the beaches and then the husband and the wife go, it's time to go. But it was a saturation that began. I don't think most people don't make a we're doing this just sort of based on this.
Yeah.
I think it was accumulation. Someone's calling has some information about Peep Boost.
Oh, good.
Yeah, nice.
So the way the Peep show would work at Venus Fair is the chick would stand in the middle. There would be mirrors that would be like octagonal. Around her, the space would probably be about 8 feet from one mirror to the next mirror to the next mirror.
So she had seven backup dancers.
And
that's right.
Oh, no. Wait.
Ensemble.
I think the dude would be in the booth, and then the mirror would go mirror, and then when you put your money in, it would go clear, and you could watch her, and then it would drop out again.
You just have to look at yourself all
That's one. That's reason enough to bring extra quarters.
Pants around your ankles.
Kids, out of breath.
Kids' Cheers. Piggy bank under your left arm. Yeah.
Goo.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I don't remember the mechanics of it, but every once in a while, maybe someone would lock the door to their booth and someone would open the door and light would come in and you could see the guy across the thing. And I remember Ray once banging on the glass, like screaming at the guy. But maybe Paul has some more insights on this. Paul, 37, Chicago.
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
Hi, Guy.
I was in the Marine Corps back in 2004 to 2008 timeline, and we were training at a place called Yuma, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a place where it was like an adult bookstore where if you wanted to rent DVDs, you can go in a little booth and you can play it for a certain amount of time that you would pay for.
Preview.
And obviously the rub was you would beat off to it rather than buy the whole thing, whatever.
Mm.
So guys would go in and out, just beating off, whatever. The thing we didn't know, we found later, we were dating
hold on. This is kind of the jerk off version of the Costco samples person. It's like, sure. I'm not buying lunch. I'm just going to load up here.
But you got to pretend. Oh, that's really good.
That's great for kosher bread.
Yeah. Some of Ron's best work.
Honey, we got to remember this.
Yeah, for next time.
Sorry. Go ahead, Paul.
No, so you're right, though. Nobody was actually going to buy the DVDs, but we were meeting girls in town and telling them about it, like, oh, yeah, the sex place store, whatever. And they said, oh, you guys didn't go there, did you? And we're like, yeah, we did. Ha, ha, ha. Why? And they said, oh, do you not know how that works? People pay to watch the guys that watch the videos.
Oh, my. Oh. Who watches The Watchmen?
Wow.
So I assume what's going on here is it's not women, right? It's like a clandestine dude going in there to watch probably service members jerk off because it's by a huge base.
There's a real
So mission. You were like getting like double peep boost.
Yeah. That's a great business plan.
Yeah, that is. And yeah, if you think, you know, if you're gay and that's your thing.
Fleet Week.
That's pretty good. Young guys, possibly in uniform, you know.
Very
live.
Well, I mean, shouldn't I be a willing participant?
Let's see what the law says.
It's what airs.
Yeah.
Las Garagos is a formality.
Yeah, man. So do you feel dirty now, Paul?
I'm a fucking trafficked person.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
But I do feel like this is the equivalent of stealing drugs from a safe house and that what are you going to do? Go to the cops?
Yeah.
You're the guy who started this with your beat off scam.
Yeah.
Who you're going to go find, go write a letter to Ralph Nader. Dear sir. Like, what the fuck are you going to do? Is Ralph Nader alive?
Let's I haven't heard about him dying.
He's in Yuma.
See if Ralph Nader's still alive, but
he's 88.
No, good for him.
Anyway,
is he alive?
Did you register a complaint with Joel Grover or one of the other Action News people? Could have blown the lid off this case.
No, but we continued to ask locals to make sure that these girls weren't messing with us, and they were like, mm-hmm. "Oh yeah, that place where they do that thing, like it was like a known thing they were doing.
Wow.
So in terms of talking to the local ladies as the guy who's there in the military, mostly those conversations would go, yeah, I'm driving the Chevette, but I got a Corvette back at the condo. Right. You want to come see right. it? It's not like I was beaten off for free.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you know the place. Yeah, like, aren't you trying
I'll
to get laid?
The story that broke the ice. The story that broke the ice, and this is obviously getting into what the call wasn't about, was that we would all go there and buy various things. And then what my story was to break that ice was like, oh, I bought a pocket pussy and I used it and it sucked. So I gave it away free to my buddy down the barracks hallway. Mm-hmm. Isn't that gross? And then they would get a laugh out of it. And then they go, where did you go? And we were talking about the place we bought it at. And they're like, oh, gross. They peep on you there.
Jeez, I've seen Officer and a Gentleman four times. I do not recall that pocket pussy scene. Maybe it's in the director's cut. But were these townies you were trying to hook up with?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you were talking about pocket pussy with them.
They weren't classy ladies.
They weren't refined.
Oh, okay. They didn't have a delicate sensibility. Yeah. All right.
They know about the local beat-off joint.
All right. So the scam is the doughboy goes in there and tries to produce some batter. And then the gay guy goes in and watches him. But where's the gay guy? Is he outside? Is he in the booth next to yours? Is there people?
It's like an adjacent booth, the way they described it.
Uh-huh.
How long do you have to wait there?
Probably not long with these guys in town.
And how did this work out for you? Are you a successful entrepreneur now?
He only went back a dozen more times.
I don't want to talk about what I do now, but I'm happily married and we're having a family and things of that nature. So it worked out in the long run.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it's an interesting scam, and it's probably because the proprietor of the adult bookstore had to know exactly what the scam was early, right? So
I think the reason we got away with it so readily was because he was like, yeah, oh boy,
yeah,
you really got me.
He wouldn't let this go on.
Right.
Yeah, I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
He would let people preview the DVDs?
For like a certain amount of time, if you were like, oh, I might buy this. He would be like, oh, yeah, if you go, do you want to see it?
He's like,
sure.
A genius.
Like, there's a private booth to view it.
Because then he's charging the dude watching him beat off like 10 times as much. Yeah. He's a genius.
It's like the Virgin Megastore.
Yeah.
I would say, though, first off, can't you glean almost everything you need to glean from the back of the DVD cover?
The thumbnail
I feel
images.
Like it's all there.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, shouldn't there be a certain element of surprise? I mean, call me old-fashioned, but doing a real thorough vetting of the porn before you get home, isn't it kind of a little grab baggy? Doesn't have a little secret Santa to
it's
it?
It's opening the white present elephant for Christmas.
Shouldn't it have a little element of, and once in a while, you roll the dice, comes up snake eyes, but you'll do better next time?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, thank you for your service.
Yes. All right, so that explains that. I was recalling, God, these stories. I had a porn trade with my buddy Dave once. Like you talk about like, first off, I don't know, like I don't know how this works out, but we can say that this generation wasted a bunch of time sitting around playing video games or just staring at a computer or tweeting people or something. You go, okay, you wasted all this time. But when I think about myself when I was 19, my time wasn't sitting in front of a video screen like wasted. My time would be like walk to the bus stop, sit and wait for the bus, you know. Get the transfer. It took you 7 hours to get to Santa Monica. That's time. Mm-hmm. I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't learning a new language or the bass guitar. I was just sitting there. Everything was like, I remember my friend Dave worked at the Dales Jr. So he had like access to nudie magazines.
Oh.
And so over the course of a couple of months, he would Kype enough nudie magazines that get a nice collection.
Nice use of Kype.
Yes. And then he would burn through them, you know. Yeah. And then at some point, twice a year, we'd have a porn trade, you know. I'd show up with a shopping bag of my porn, and he had his porn.
You had doubles you're willing to part with.
And we'd sit in his living room in North Hollywood. Like, I remember this, like, Tuesday. I remember him going, like, my roommate works a double shift, so he's sleeping, so kind of keep it down, you know. And we're sitting there, and he's got, you got Wii? No, I'm not interested. What do you got any gent over there? Like, yeah, okay, let me check that out. And got it, have it, need it, you know. It was like an entire day wasted with a bag of porn, just trading porn.
What? How old were you? It's a pretty shameless activity.
I was 38, okay. I think. No, I was 19, living in a garage.
So this is the highlight of your year.
Nothing else, nothing better to do.
Oh, it was a circle of the calendar.
That's right.
Yeah.
Count the days.
Just did nothing. That's all. All right. Do we have, let's see, let's talk about a girl prosecuted for abortion pill.
What is
the genesis of the Rotten Tomatoes game? All right. Let's just blow through these and then we'll do yourself a favor. John 40, Las Vegas.
Hello, Adam, Gina, Bald. How y'all doing?
Good.
Good. I just know that you had a story on a couple days ago about the girl out in Nebraska with the abortion pills, and was wondering if there's any follow-up. There was a New York Times story that came out that gave a lot of the details that were kind of missing, I guess.
What story are we talking about?
Somebody got arrested because they saw somebody take an abortion pill and they ratted them out.
Oh, that one with the Facebook one. Is that what
or
you're talking about?
Something like that.
Yes.
That they had Facebook had to hand over their direct messages to each other. That's
yes.
It. Wasn't it a mom?
Yeah, so that,
yes. Mom and her daughter.
That was part of the story, but there's questions as to how far along she was and what the pills were and all that. And some details have come out in the New York Times, and I was just curious on your thoughts if anybody's followed up on that or
no. I think the point of the story was that Facebook was giving out private information, so that was the part of the story we were following.
Okay, but that was based on a subpoena, correct? It was not just Facebook giving over; it was
correct.
They had a subpoena for the records. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Everything
we cleared that up. Although I did hear on the New York Times Daily podcast today that there's a really vibrant movement called the abortion abolitionists who think that mainstream anti-abortionists are super hypocritical and they don't go far enough because they're not prosecuting women for homicide if they take Plan B. Mm-hmm. And they, if I'm remembering the story correctly, got their vote to the floor in Louisiana. It was voted down, but the guy who started this movement, or who at least is really loud about it, is a 44-year-old dude who's a ex-drug addict who basically thinks this is his way to thank Jesus for saving
Jesus.
His life. And so women may be prosecuted with homicide if they take Plan B in the future.
Well, I can never say never anymore.
Yeah.
But usually when there's
sure be a bum out.
Usually when there's a story that sounds weird or slightly outrageous, if you dig deeper, there'll be some other things that make it slightly less.
But this was the dig.
Outrageous.
This was the New York Times digging deeper.
All right. Well, you're going to get that from the New York Times. That's all. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
It's not something that I worry about, but on the other hand, like I said, you can never say never anymore. We'll talk to Anthony, who wants to know the genesis of the Rotten Tomatoes game. Anthony?
Mijo? How's it going, guys?
Good.
Utica, is that what that is?
New Jersey? Yeah, the beautiful city of Utica, New York.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we played the original song, it would clear that up.
What's the original
song? Our original Rotten Tomatoes song.
Oh, right. Would it?
Atchity!
Yeah, yeah, Matt Atchity used to come in here.
I haven't heard that in so long, I don't even remember what the old song sounded like.
I miss that song, yeah. I don't know,
so
Brian.
Anytime I think of the Rotten Tomatoes game, the new song is just pops right into my head.
I don't know. The origins of the Rotten Tomatoes game.
I was trying to. I remember the origins of the TiVo game, but I think.
Wasn't Matt Atchity came from Rotten
TiVo
Tomatoes?
I think it began with Atchity. Yeah. I don't know if we guessed scores before that.
Yeah, it was Matt when he was Matt Atchity. He was the editor of Rotten Tomatoes, so he came up with the game and brought it in, and we would play it all the time. And then he hosted it, and then eventually, when he left Rotten Tomatoes, we had Dawson start hosting it.
And
okay. I mean, it's pretty brilliant.
Gio, super fan Giovanni, will probably he'll weigh in. He'll have some thoughts about it, because the real question is did we give Matt Atchity the marching orders to go come up with a, you know, come in, we'll play this game?
He may have come in as a guest and been like, and we started talking about scores.
I've always found it interesting. I've always found the score, the percentage, and then the dynamic behind it kind of interesting. Like, mm-hmm. I've always been interested in the audience versus the critic and how that changes. I've always been interested in sort of subject matters, how that steers the score and how it steers the audience in another direction.
It helps gain you those extra points you need during the game.
Yes. But it's interesting. Well, Gio, he'll listen. We'll get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
All right. We got enough time
for hear the song?
Oh, yeah. Let's hear the song.
I love this song.
Yeah.
Bee Gees, right?
Mm-hmm. Everyone loves this song. The thing about the parody songs is you have to love the real song first. With a fresh and rotten movie game. Now it's time. I really hope it isn't lame. Please let's go. I totally can't hit this note. I can't force it anymore. It hurts my balls. Hurts my balls. Atchity. He names the flicks and the game makes flicks mad. Atchity. He's the movie guy and when he drops by, the gang has to guess. Do the critic scores make it rotten or fresh? Wait, didn't it used to be Schlubby
Guy?
Yes, but I think he lost all the weight and we changed the lyrics.
He did.
What did we change it to?
He's the movie guy.
Oh,
yeah, it was
okay.
He's a Schlubby Guy.
Oh, so that was the later version of it. Yeah, because he dropped like 100 pounds.
Yeah.
And you didn't, I mean, you knew he lost some weight, but you didn't know he was carrying around 100 pounds. He's not a tall guy, and he never looked that fat. He just looked like a Schlubby Guy. All right, should we do ourselves a favor here, Max Pata?
Yeah, so yesterday Brian gave us a nice little tip about leaving your sandals upside down, your flip-flops flipped over.
On a blazing hot day at the pool, turn those sandals. What use is it wearing the sandals? We're just going to pop them on. They're going to be scorching.
Agreed.
Yeah, so Adam, you actually have a whole chapter in your book dedicated to do yourself a favor tip, so I can read a couple of them for you.
This is in 50 Years We'll All Be Chicks?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them is a travel kit for your car. Get yourself a small bag and stuff it with an extra T-shirt, shorts, and towel, a toiletry kit with a travel-sized toothbrush, deodorant, etc., and keep it in your car. That way you're prepared with a change of clothes and can keep yourself up in case of an impromptu hoops game starting up, or someone tosses you into the pool, or you wake up in a strange hotel room with a hangover and a floozy.
Oh, very specific.
I was gonna say.
Yeah, or you shit yourself.
Sure.
That too, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really good.
And the flu.
Speaking of cars, also another one you said keep, along with the multiple scissors and multiple nail clippers at home, keep an extra pair of sunglasses in your glove box so that when you leave the first pair in your house, you're not squinting your whole commute.
The thing about sunglasses is if you're not on them, you're not on them. But if you're on them, you're on them. Sunglasses are like.
That's what I was gonna say.
Sunglasses are like chapstick. You can go your entire life without touching chapstick, or you can be a person who carries chapstick, and that person will apply it 26 times a day. You'll be talking to the person, they'll apply it twice in a 7-minute conversation indoors. Mm-hmm. It just becomes a thing.
Yeah.
And part of it is psychological, but the other part is your body starts like adjusting and kind of needs it. Jay Leno will never wear sunglasses. I defy you to find a picture of Jay Leno with sunglasses on. He's the only guy I know. He rides an open face. He rides a motorcycle. When I saw him the other night at the Improv, he pulled in. It was still light outside. I believe it was. He pulls in. He rides a motorcycle with an open face helmet. No visor. No, it's an open face helmet. with no sunglasses, and the motorcycle doesn't even have a fairing or a windshield on half time. He just motors down the street. He's riding some old Indian from 1938 or something. Helmet, no fairing.
What about bugs?
I don't know. Like, I wear sunglasses as if the sun's going down, I will wear the sunglasses. He won't do it. I don't know if it's a thing or if it's part of his sort of anti-Hollywood celebrity guy, because they'll do that thing where they go, look at him and his sunglasses and his Rolex watch and stuff like that.
Inside.
Like every cartoon I saw when I was a kid, a celebrity had his sunglasses on, would look down his sunglasses at people. I don't know if it's like it's kind of sort of Joe Sixpack mentality, but if you get used to sunglasses, and once you get on them, you don't get weaned off them. And if you left them at the wherever you left them and you take off, you are fucked. Just next time you're at the car wash, just get a $13 pair and just drop them in the console. Yes.
Cheap sunglasses. Neil got burned by this recently. It was Dr. Drew at our drinks event because he left his prescription sunglasses. God knows where. I saw him digging through couches at the end.
Well, the other key,
he's so committed to
the
lifestyle.
Other key to the sunglasses that do not ever permit. First off, you're all worthless and weak. You will make bad decisions. You cannot wear your sunglasses.
You're all worthless and weak.
Into a place where you enter when the sun is out and when you leave, the sun is down. If the number
We're not
one
good enough.
The number one loss of sunglasses is having a barbecue. What time's the barbecue? So 5:30, 6 o'clock, people getting there. You walk in, you're wearing a sunglass, you're standing out in the patio, the sun's big, it's going down, you're standing at the barbecue or something. At some point, it's 9:30 and you're buzzed. So you take the sunglasses off. Do not set them anywhere. They must go in your pocket, or you can hook them around your head or whatever you're doing.
Collar. Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, if you set them down, gone, daddy, gone.
Yep.
You got a buzz. Now it's 10 o'clock and the Uber's out front. You're gone. Do not set them down. Sorry, what else you got, Max Powell?
This one's a classic one, a bright-colored wallet. Avoid black wallets. Many cars, including your own, have black leather seats and black carpet. At night when the black wallet falls out of the sweatpants, it gets lodged between the black seat and the black carpet. On the transmission hump, it becomes undetectable by the human eye. Now you've got no cash and an irate hooker. I actually went to the length of spray painting my wallet red. This is an endless source of amusement for everyone in my life, but that was 5 years ago, and I'm still going strong with the same wallet, so suck it, naysayers.
Wow, that is a bold statement.
You showed us.
I remember, I spray painted my wallet red. I did, but I didn't do it. My assistant Jay did it, and he
gave you an accent
I gave him my wallet. And I said, just go paint this thing red so next time it falls in the crack of the tranny or whatever, I'll be able to find
or
wherever it is. Yeah, or the car. And blah, blah, blah. And he brought it back, and he put a yellow racing stripe down it, which you'd have to tape off and then get a second can.
At first.
He did real good.
I was like, yeah, but how much time did this take you? Like, this isn't a fashion statement. I like where your head's at, but it still took you an extra 20 minutes to do the racing stripe. All right, sorry. What else? Couple more, because the Sklar brothers
are
here.
And we have some, too.
I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
All right, shampooing.
Mm.
The reality is you should probably shampoo once a week. There have got to be oils and essences that are meant to accumulate in your hair that you're not supposed to strip away. Think about it. What do you do right after you shampoo? Use conditioner. Why? To put back all the good stuff you just took out. Here's an even better example. I have never seen a bald bum. Have you? The average 50-year-old CEO is balding. The average 55-year-old bum has a head of hair like Phil Spector. What's the difference? The CEO has a marble shower with 20 different massaging heads that he uses twice a day. The homeless guy showers once a year at the beach.
Well said.
There's something to that, because they all have hair.
Yeah, lustrous.
And yeah, now, I mean, this is 13, 14 years old. Now the dad is in with all the showers.
Now Gwyneth Paltrow's on board.
That's right.
So we can all be on board.
All right, Gina, you got a tip. Brian, you got a tip?
Yeah, yes. I have a couple. So this is one I've been doing for a long time, and this goes right along in many ways with your wallet. We all have the same suitcase. They're all black or navy blue or gray. Grab anything, any color, any ribbon, and tie it around the handle of that suitcase so when it comes down the luggage carousel, you know that's yours. You don't have to fumble around. You don't leave with the wrong suitcase.
Yes, good.
Also, this is a tip mostly for guys, because with all your short haircuts and sometimes no haircuts, do yourself a favor, men. Don't forget to put sunscreen on the tips of your ears.
Mm.
That shit gets burnt, and that's where you get skin cancer. And I didn't know that until my dad told me about that you got to put sunscreen on the tips of your ears.
I see an inordinate amount of bald dudes who ain't fashion plates, like out and about walking the paddock at the race or whatever with no hat. And you can see clearly damage is going down on top of the whatever.
You got to do SPF.
Just do that, or just look. You're 61. You got a gunt and a bad goatee. Like, who are you fucking? Like,
yeah, I mean,
who's objecting this? Put a big fucking straw hat and walk around the beach, or like, who are you trying to attract here?
Yes, I'll give you one more, just because I assume we'll do this again, and we have others. But for people who still give out business cards, first of all, do yourself a favor and stop. But if you get a business card from someone, do what I always do. Take a picture of the business card and throw the business card away.
Mm.
You no longer have to be responsible for that piece of paper, and you won't lose the
information. It'll turn up and you'll be like, months later, what the hell is this?
It has gum on it. Yeah.
Can I say this back to the sun? The people who are much more physiologically or genetically able to withstand the harming rays of the sun, do a much better job with the sun. So all the Latin guys you'd work with, and if you walk around, you'll see this. You see Latin guys like gardeners, guys doing the cinder block walls. They're wearing long sleeve shirts.
Buttoned up.
The guys serving at the guys at the pool in Maui. Mm. It's 90 degrees and sweltering, long sleeve shirts. Mm-hmm.
The Latin guys got the long sleeve, the big brim straw hats, jeans all the way down to the boot, and blah, blah, blah. Whitey's in there with the cutoffs and the shirt off, getting the shit kicked out of him by the sun. You see the Latino women and the Asian women walking with the umbrella. Mm-hmm. You don't see white chicks with the umbrella. You see the Latino chicks when they're going to the bus stop or pushing the cart home from the whatever.
Because white chicks like to age like an old leather.
So,
like an old boot.
Yeah.
And when your skin is dark, I mean, you'll see those Latin guys that are 67 and look like they're 35, you know, but the whitey, we get the blotches and the marks and the creases and the sunspots and everything like that. They somehow have figured out that the sun is what's causing them the damage. White guys think it's the hot part.
Right.
Like, oh man, if I could just work in my underpants, all my problems would be solved. It's like, no, you're still going to be hot, and then you're going to be sun blasted as well. Sorry.
I got a quote from Gina. Excellent examples, all good tips. And to all the listeners, when we do this again, this segment works great when people call in with their tips and stuff we haven't thought about. I brought in a $3 item, hockey puck sized item that'll change your life. Adam probably has this, but I discovered this. We bought our house and
$3.
I use it all the time. Three-ish.
Mm-hmm. It looks like
a
twist tie, like wire cutter. you buy this. This is a $3 spool. I bought this in 2011. I use it to this day, and I'll never finish it. Look how much is left on
there. Damn, it's literally a twist tie.
In general?
You just pull it off the side, whatever you need, clip it.
That's fun.
Super simple. Well, this came off. You clip it, and for cords, headphones, put up the picture. This is a last-minute picture. Everything in its place. Never have a mess, a nest of cords again.
Just a twisty wire, twisty-covered wire like you'd use an old sandwich bag, right?
So you don't get a rat king when it comes to your cables. They're not all tied together.
Twist your life away.
I love that.
This is the best. Connect the whatever wire is.
Christmas gift, Brian, please.
This is great. $3 and your life has changed.
I
no
love
more
it.
Nest
Good tip.
Of cords.
And also, when it comes to the sandwich bag or the chip bag or whatever, the promise of the Ziploc we've decided was a fool's errand and has caused more damage than good. But I realize the problem with the Ziploc is you think it's Ziploc because it kind of looks Ziploc. When you come up on it, you see the 3/16 worth of gap and the thing's been open the whole time, getting stale chips, whatever it is.
Just spilled everywhere.
The sandwich tie was you could spot it from outer space. You either did it or you didn't do it. And you never had that thing where you thought you did it, but you didn't do it. The Ziploc Half the time I do it, I think I've done it. I set it down. I didn't do it.
And they tried to fix that by treating us like three-year-olds. Remember, yellow and blue make green. Remember those?
Yes, but also...
the color changing.
Yeah. Was it such a horrific calorie burner to twist a peanut butter jelly sandwich twice and then just put the wire on it?
Not a problem.
All right, Randy and Jason Sklar are going to join us. Vernon Davis as well. We'll do that right after this.
All month long, the biggest movies are streaming free on Pluto TV's Popcorn Summer Movies. Watch star-studded blockbusters like Titanic and Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. Or fall in love with charming rom-coms like Hitch and How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. The best part? Pluto TV is 100% free. No credit cards, not even a sign-up. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.